ജയം വിഷുപാല ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി ഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിഥിലീല പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹരശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് ാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സൗഭോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമ ഗുണ്ടരാധാ ഗുണ്ടഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാം കി മായപ്പൂർ ധാം കി മധുരപുരി ധാം കി ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാം കി ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാം കി ഗംഗാമായിക്ക് യമുനാമായിക്ക് തുളസീദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലി ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണ മുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധതാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തു ദേവ്യാസ വിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നവാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവ സുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാജേദ്രതജലാ ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശലേഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണനദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവജ സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജന ശൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേബീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയോദ്ബാലതവങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണീന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈ സംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാവശന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാ സുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ Krishna is saying in that 12th verse, Anishtam ishtam misham cha trividham karmana bhalam bhavatya tyaginam pretya nadu sanyasinam kochit. We have talked about it yesterday that the Atma bhavam when there is Atma Bhavam, it does not make a person tired. Because through Atma Bhavam, like all activities in the body, because we have that Atma Bhavam, Atma was doing that, not Jiva is doing that. Atma is doing that because identification is important. When we identify as a Jiva, we have a problem. When we identify with Atma, we have no problem. So, Atma Bhavam means no kartratva bhoktratvam. So therefore, even if you do it continuously, you don't get tired of that. So, in the same way, like Antaryami or Atma, how it runs this whole activities inside our body, it's the same way Krishna is running this world, always in Atma Bhav, not as a Jiva. Jiva gets tired, because Jiva means Ahangaram. Ahangaram will get tired. Angaram cannot do it. So, Atma Bhava means you become free from the identification with the body. And that's how Antaryami conducts this whole creation business is going on, right? So, Ishvara and Jiva, that concept has to be understood properly, because Jiva is, Kapila Maharshi also says that, Manasaidani Bhudani Pranamel Bahumanayan Ishwaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavanidi. This is in the 29th chapter, in the 3rd canto. Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti. He is also saying there, Ishwaro Jiva Kalaya Pravishto Bhagavanidi. Ishwara has become as Jiva. Jiva Kala it is called. It's a Kala, it is. We are all Jiva Kalavadaram, in other words. Jiva Kala we are. So, when he enters as Jiva Kala, then Ahangaram comes. So, along with that, Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam comes when it is a Jiva. But Kartrutva Bhoktrutvam, you can observe that, how that tires a person out, right? Sometimes when you keep observe supervising things alone, you get tired.
Yeah.
Say a lot of people are cooking for a feast or something. And one man is supervising everything. And he is busy from morning to afternoon till all cooking is going on. He is managing, supervising everybody. Right? He hasn't done physically anything. But because he is stood there and got absorbed in that heavily, right? He is feeling that he is doing the work. In such a way he gets absorbed in it. Others are doing the work, right? And that tires him out more than others, those who are cooking. A lot of people are cooking, but the one who is supervising all that, he gets tired. Because he feels that that identification inside, right? And if you understand that secret, any amount of karma will not tire one out. We won't get tired from that, right? This is that's what Krishna is saying here. Anishtam ishtam mishram cha trividam karmana bhalam. Karma has got these three nature in it. Some karma we don't like it. And because, but sometimes we are forced to do it, which we don't like, right? And then it's anishtam. For example, one person said that one of his children, small child, doesn't like going to toilet. Just doesn't like going to toilet, right? So, because he doesn't like to go to toilet, the child won't go to toilet on a daily basis. So, then after 2 or 3 days, you have to force the child, give some medicines to get the child to go to toilet, right? And Every day the parents are instructing the child, you should go to toilet in the morning. But the child has no interest. Child doesn't like it, going to toilet. Right? So this ishtam and ishtam is like that. Something you like, something you don't like. Right? And then mishram, both. So some people, if they like something, some karma, when it comes, they will do that. Anishta karma, that will also come in life. In life, both will come. Ishta karma will come, anishta karma will also come, right? Something karma, we will like it to do it. We like to do that, right? For example, you wanted to come to Salsangam, right? And you have come with an open mind, unattached to anything, wanted to sit and listen something, right? At that time, some prarabdham had come. And you couldn't go to Salsangam. It got somehow or the other diverted. You couldn't come, right? And then you feel inside, why does this happen, that I just wanted to go, but prarabdham has come in some form, either you are sick or some problem at home, whatever it may be, right? That feeling should not come, because spirituality is within us. Spirituality is within us, right? And you have to keep that in mind. And if the karma has to be performed somewhere else, for some reason, some other engagement had come, and you have to go somewhere else, go and do that karma, right? Because right now, prarabdham has come like that. And there is no other alternative to that. That has to be done. So you have to do that, right? So this karma, somebody has to look at that. For example, in the case of the independence time, independence movement was happening at that time. Many people who participated in that, they went to the jail. They had to stay in the prison. But they were all having some sadhana at home. They were all spiritually very inclined people, many of them. Very good educated people were there. It was a different generation altogether. Right? And they had to go to prison because the British government was locking them up all together. The whole country was up in arms, and that's what was happening, right? And when they were in prison, they were reading Bhagavad Gita, and some of them have written commentaries also in the Bhagavad Gita, on Bhagavad Gita in the prison. So it was anishtam situation. Anishtam, they didn't like it to be locked up in the prison, but it didn't bother them. Even though they were put in the prison, it didn't matter to them, right? Similarly, war fighting going on, it's also not a favorable situation. These are all unfavorable situations. Being locked up in the prison, or we have to fight a war, and things like that. Right? And Krishna has chosen that himself, a warlike situation. And in that unfavorable situation, Krishna had to do this, driving the chariot. That was his occupation at that time, right? Ideally Krishna likes when he spends his time in Vrindavan, with the gopis, playing the flute, tending the cows. That was his occupation which he loved to do. The occupation he loved to do was tending the cows, going with friends to the forest, playing the flute, and spending the time with them. That was his happiness. But this situation of Mahabharata war is not something he didn't want it. He wanted really. But it happened. And he's trying to show to us that unfavorable situation, favorable situation will come in life at different times. Right? So, when he left Vrindavan, after that he has not taken that flute in the hand. After he left Vrindavan, he has not taken that flute in the hand, right? When he goes to talk to, Mahabharata war happened before that. He went to pacify, he went to negotiate Dud with Dhritarashtra and Bhishma and all. When he went to talk to them, there is no reference to the flute there. There is no flute. Right? Yeah, all the flute and the music and all finished in Vrindavan with that. Right? Then this was prarabdham for him, for Krishna. When I say like that, don't misunderstand it that way. That means he is trying to show to us that this is how life will be for everybody. He is not affected because there is no prarabdham for Krishna. But prarabdham comes like this. That's what the point is, right? And when prarabdham comes, you may be forced to do some things. He had to ride the horses and clean the horses and similarly feed the horses. All this was his prarabdham in the middle of that. Because that's what has come in front of him. At that time, he did that, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying. In ishtam and ishtam will come in life, in karma. Some karma you may have to do it, some karma you like it, you may like to do it. But some karma will come which you may not like to do it. Like in Krishna's case itself. Krishna was happy with Vrindavanam, with the playing the flute and playing with the children, and that was his good times in his life, which he enjoyed doing that. And this is not something he wanted it, but it came as a part of his prarabdham, you can say. Not exactly Krishna's prarabdham, in the sense that karmam comes like that in life. Yeah. So, sometimes both come together, mishram, anishtam, ishtam, both. Right? And that is what he is saying, trividham karmanam bhalam. In three ways karmam can come to you. Ishtam, anishtam, mishram. Some things you like, some things you don't like, something a mixture of both. Trividha karmana bhalam. And when you say these things, you can relate with your own life and see for yourself how this has happened in your own life. Right? So, we will approach, ask Krishna, only give me that which gives me happiness in life. That karma, that gives us happiness, right? At that time, Krishna will tell you this verse. If you say to Krishna that you give me only that karma which I like to do, don't put me into difficult situations, Krishna will say this verse. Anishtam ishtam ishram ja trividha karmanam bhalam. So, that's what Krishna has done, right? I will give you anishtam also, as well as ishtam, right? If you get addicted to ishtam, right, in order to cure that disease, I will give you anishtam. When some karmam, you get so attached to it, because you like it, you develop an attachment to that, at that time, Krishna will push through some anishta karmam to make you realize that this is part of life, right? Trividham karmana bhalam. For whom bhavatya tyaganam pretya nadu sanyasanam kochit. But all these things is for whom? Anishtam, mishtam, mishram and all. That's what he's saying in the next two lines. Bhavatya tyaginam pretya nadu sanyasinam kochit. For a sannyasi, all this is not a problem. It's not a problem, right? Again, remember this. Krishna is not saying, when he says a sannyasi, he's not talking about Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharyas, right? One who has realized the truth. One who has realized it, completely realized it, and with that knowledge living in this world, in the middle of everything, in the middle of all these contradictions or disturbances, one who is living with realized knowledge here, and with all the conflicts, one who is with knowledge, who has reached that state, right? Krishna was like that. Krishna was not a sannyasi, was he? He has not even taken sannyasam. Official sannyasam Krishna has not taken. But what does differentiate Krishna from others? Krishna was with this knowledge full, in full. So any karma he does, that means more like a liberated person stage, Jivan Mukta stage. That was Krishna's position. That's not even a sannyasi, he's not even a sannyasi. But that state of consciousness, that's what matters, Jivan Mukta stage, right? So, that means that knowledge was working even when all these things were happening. In Vrindavan life, then the war in Mahabharata war, in all different states, totally unaffected by that, able to act. Totally unaffected by that, right? And Arjuna's situation was also like that, right? Vedavyasa Maharshi is also like that, and none of them have taken sannyasam. Vedavyasa didn't take sannyasam. Arjuna didn't take sannyasam, right? They all didn't do this external sannyasa diksha and all that, right? But Naishkarmya sthiti, right? And Naishkarmya sthiti means this Jivan Mukta stage. These are the that state, that position where they are at, right? So, so they, for body, one who has a body, right? He will find that difficult to be in that state, like Krishna was, Vedavyasa Maharshi was, or Arjuna was, right? Paramahamsa Parivrajaka, what we call the sannyasi's highest stage, right? He is taken the diksha and he is doing it, but he hasn't reached that consciousness yet. So when we talk about sannyasam, we have to be a little bit clear all these things. That sannyasam, we say, is the highest ashram, no doubt. But these who have retaken sannyasa diksha, and they have gone through that ritual process, changed the clothes, taken a new name, having a danda, and acting in this world without expectation of any results, that's all fine. Still, they are not liberated yet. They are not liberated. Able to deal with anishta mishta mishramja trivida karmana bhalam. Able to accept both happiness and distress equally. All that realization has not happened yet. They also get sometimes disturbed. But in Krishna's case, it is a different state than all the sannyasi state we are talking about. Sannyasi also will have some effect inside when inishtam, ashtam, ishtam, anishtam comes in life. But Krishna's case is higher than that. Krishna is showing to us trividha karmana bhalam. Karmam will come in three different ways. In all three situations, unaffected by that, able to stay like that. Not just saying, but to be able to be like that, unaffected by that. That naishkarmya sthiti. That is a much higher stage, right? So here, when Krishna is talking about nato sannyasinam kochet, you must remember, he is not referring to a sannyasi who has gone through sannyasa diksha and he is in that path, but he hasn't reached there yet. That you must remember. He is not talking about those people. He is talking about that person who has reached that state. Who has reached that state. That's why he's saying like that. Yeah. For example, all great personalities you look in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, Ambarish Maharaj, he was not a sannyasi. Krishnadev, he was not a sannyasi. Janaka Maharaj, he was not a sannyasi. And Krishna himself was not a sannyasi. So, we shouldn't get to misunderstand things that, if I become sannyasi, that's the highest. No. Reaching the state of consciousness is the highest. And that is very, very rare thing. Only great personalities can get there. All these people whom we have mentioned, Vasudeva, Ambarish, Janaka, Krishna, Arjuna, Vedavyas, all these great personalities, in the middle of all disturbances in life, they were acting with able to go beyond than that and remain in that state of Naishkarmyam, Naishkarmyasthiti. You know in Bhagavadam spoken about Naishkarmam abhi, Achyudabhava varjidam nashobhade, Jnanamalam niranjanam kudappunam shashodavadramishure, Nakarmyamam karma yadapyanuttamam. Twice that is spoken there, in the first canto, fifth chapter, and in the 12th canto also. Right? So, if you look at them, what do you find there? Lot of problems in their life. Right? Lot of distress in their life, which normally have, but totally unaffected by that. That state. And smiling at it, everything. When everything has happened, they are still smiling. In spite of everything what has happened. Right? Ramachandra incarnation was, Ramavadaram is not like that, right? Ramachandra had knowledge, like Krishna had the knowledge, right? But even though he is a jnani, he was crying when Sita Devi was stolen, right? And when he was separated from Sita Devi, Ramachandra cried, right? And that is to show us an ordinary person's nature. Krishna is not showing an ordinary person's nature. Ramachandra was teaching us, an average man in this world, how he will be, right? You can say, practitioner stage, apprentice stage, how he will be. We are all the apprentices. Yeah. How apprentice will behave, will be affected by everything, right? And then Lakshmana may talk to Ramachandra, or Sugriva will say something, and Ramachandra will agree with that. This is all in the Ramayana, right? That's a different drama altogether. Krishna's drama is different from Ramachandra's drama. Ramachandra's drama, you find all these things. For a normal person, how he suffers. Neither Ramachandra nor Krishna has affected by any of these things. They are showing to us something for us to learn from life, that life will be like this. Life will be like this, right? Krishna has shown in one way, one side of it. Ramachandra has shown another side of it, right? So, in Krishnavadaram, there are much more heavy experiences Krishna had, right? Difficult situations, but in the middle of all that, neither anishtam, nor ishtam, nor mishram, as far as Krishna is concerned, right? He has gone beyond, transcended all that, yeah? That is why he says here, Anishtam, Naragatiryagadi Lakshanam, Ishtam, Devadi Lakshanam, Mishram, Ishta, Anishta, Samyuktam, Manushya Lakshanam. So, results of karmam, we consume that in three different ways. Anishtam means going to the hellish conditions or taking birth in the birds and animals' kingdom. Then ishtam means going up higher in the higher planets and taking birth in among the devas, higher living entities, right? And both ishtam and anishtam, mishram, is human body. Human body is a mixture of both, ishtam and anishtam. Lower species is anishtam. Higher species is ishtam, right? So this is how those three results will come to us, right? And Manusha eva trividham tri prakaram karmanaha dharma dharmadi lakshanasya bhalam bahya ega karaka vyapara nishpannam sad avidyakratam indrajala mayopamam maha mohakaram pratyek almoba sarpi iva bhalgudayalayam adarshanam gachari iti bhalam iti bhala nurvachanam. So it says here that sarva karma bhalat tyagi. Who is tyagi? Sarvakarma Phalatyagam, right? Earlier Krishna mentioned that who is Yagi? for example, expectation of results from karma, right? Certain things, for example, you want to cook a nice feast, right? It takes a lot of time preparing things and organizing everything. And you have to be focused on that so that you do the things right. Right? So, it takes a long time to prepare a feast. And to enjoy the results of that, you only had a few, half an hour or so, the feast, when you were having it. For half an hour enjoyment, you have spent many hours planning it, procuring the items, then focused on doing that, cooking it nicely, and the results came out. And how long did you enjoy that? For a few, half an hour maximum, a feast, right? So, the result disappeared in half an hour. All that hours of effort, the result has disappeared in half an hour, right? So, what is Krishna saying is that you started a karmam and you conscious that I am the karta, I am the bhokta, with all that inside you have done that karmam. And you executed the karmam, and then in a few, half an hour or so, the result of the karmam is consumed. Everything is over with that, is it not? That amount of time you spend in cooking the feast, and the time you have consumed that feast, it's over in half an hour's time. So, Krishna's point is, all these things, karmam, karma phalam, and its experience, all these things, is maya. It's maya. We have to see it like that. Yeah. when all these things came together, that is when the results came. That means you were doing it, kartrutvam was there, bhoktrutvam was there, and you had a ragam for the feast, and you were engaged in karmam. All these things all come together, is maya, right? So, when all these things came together, the results came, right? This karma can be given up completely. It's only possible for a self-realized person to give it up completely. Others, it cannot be done. Self-realized soul can do, Alpajnani, one who has self-realization inside. That is how it is. Krishna is trying to explain to us the difference for a self-realized soul's state or his situation and even a sannyasi who has taken sannyasa diksha but he hasn't got there yet. So that is the next topic. Jnani, whatever he, Jnani means the realized person, whatever karmam he does, it won't bind him. Right? And this is the Bhagavad Gita's proclamation. If you are self-realized, then you do any karmam, it won't bind you. But to know that, you have to be highly qualified for that, to be in that situation. You have to be highly qualified. Right? It is not a topic for ajnanis. There can be sannyasis, but there can be ajnanis. Even sannyasis can be ajnanis. They are not realized yet. Realization hasn't come. They have changed the clothes, taken the name, taken the danda, done the ritual, everything. But realization hasn't come. The Jivanmukta stage has not come to them. And those personalities like Krishna, Krishabha, Rishabhadev, Ambarish Maharaj, Janaka, Arjuna, Vedavyas, they are all not taken sannyasam, but their state of consciousness was like that. Consciousness was like this. So, which is even higher than the sannyas. Sannyasis are those who are trying to get there. They are training, they are in that training stage still. That's the way you have to look at the sannyasis. Otherwise, when you go and when normally people think that when you go to institute, this sannyasis, he is a sannyasi, they say. But that does not mean much. We are not denigrating sannyasa ashram. What we are saying is, Krishna is saying here is that, and Bhagavad Gita is saying this, that state of consciousness you have to get there. And that's a very difficult thing, right? So, so in this chapter, Krishna is saying that any karma what he does, Krishna, Rishabhadev, Janaka, Arjuna, Ambarish, Vedavyas, any karma what they do won't bind them. They come to that stage, right? Because in their awareness, they don't have that they are doing the karma. They come beyond that. In their awareness, they are not doing the karma, right? Therefore, he is not bound. And that is the subject he is going to talk from now on. Krishna is going to talk about that. Yeah. So, here he said that because ajnanam is there in people, when this anishtam ishtam mishram karmam comes, bhavati tyaginam pretyam nandu sannyasinam kochil, right? You have done a lot of work in this world, and that will create like Maya, Maya's magic, that is, right? And when you start doing all those things, you start thinking that you are getting closer to self-realization. Tav edad evam lakshanam phalam bhavati adhyaginam ajnanam karminam aparamartha sannyasinam pretya sharira padad urdhvam nadu paramartha sannyasinam paramahamsa parivrajakanam kevala jnana nishthanam kochit. One who is doing things with expectation of results, and one who is not sannyasi, they will get their results after their death, whatever it is, the average person, right? Then parivrajakas, paramahamsas, all these sannyasis also, they get a different results. Nahi kevala samyak darshana nishtha avidyadi samsara bijam na unmole yadi kojil ityartha. When this samsara bijam means the seed of our material existence. What is that? Avidya. Avidya, right? And when full realization comes to him, then avidya totally goes away. And with that, that means the avidya from person has gone totally. And therefore, the cause behind material existence gone away from him. There is no more material existence for that person. And he says, so this karma sannyasam or complete karma sannyasam happens to only the realized ones. Only he can give up complete karma sannyasam, right? So one who does not have that complete realizations or self-realization, right? Due to his avidya inside, he thinks that I am doing the karma and I am getting the results. And he thinks that it's all done by Atma from inside, and he is not able to come out of that concept from him. Completely karma sannyasam is not possible for him yet. Yet, it's not possible for him. So, whatever Krishna is speaking is all based on what's happening inside. We always look at what's happening outside. Is it not? And that's how we make the decisions, judge things. What's happening outside, and we make the judgment on that basis. externality, external things, is it not? And whatever Krishna is talking about is what's happening inside that person, where he is at. So, this verse, this last verse, because it's so referring to personalities of such higher level, this has caused a lot of difficulties also for many commentators on Bhagavad Gita, this particular verse. Because it's talking about persons, Krishna is talking about personalities who are like him and Ambarish and Janaka and Rishabhadev and Arjuna and Vedavyas and himself. They are all in that category, and because it's about them and their state, it's not actually a state. You can't call it as a state. State is when you are changing. It comes and goes. That's when it is called a state. That's the problem here. State is something, for example, Jagrat, it's a state. It comes, it goes. Dream, it's a state. It comes, it goes. Sushupti, it's a state. It comes, it goes. But this is realized existence. Your existence is like that. That's you. You are like that always. It's not it comes and goes in them. In Krishna, Arjuna, Ambarish, and Janaka, Shubhadev and all, it's not comes and goes. It's like that. They are always in that. If it is comes and goes, it's a state. But it's not a state. That's the point. Right? And therefore, Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam, Ramanujacharya's Bhashyam, Madhvacharya's Bhashyam, similarly Vallabhacharya's Bhashyam, Nimbarka Acharya's Bhashyam, Mahatma Gandhi's Bhashyam, Balagangadhar Tilak's Bhashyam, all there, and which one do you take as authentic in all these things? Right? If you say one way, others may have some disagreement on that. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, the way to look at that is that who wrote Bhagavad Gita? Vedavyasa Maharshi. Right? And when he look at his Vedavyasa Maharshi's verses, what he has given us, right? And Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam with that, right? Vedavyasa Maharshi has written other books as well. Bhagavatam he wrote, right? And when you bring these two things together, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together, because both has come from Vedavyas, is it not? You may be able to get from that what Vedavyas is saying better than looking into all the other commentaries, right? So, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna, in the first canto, in the 15th chapter, in the verse 30, this is Arjuna coming back from Dwarka, back to Hastinapura, right? Gidam Bhagavata Jnanam Yatal Samgramam Urdhani Kala Karma Tapo Yuddham Unar Jagamat Prabhu. Then effect of Bhagavad Gita for Arjuna, right? Gidam Bhagavata Jnanam Bhagavad Gita Jnanam Yatal Samgramam Urdhani Kala Karma Tapo Yuddham Unar Jagamat Prabhu mentions there, right? So then what Krishna talked to Arjuna in the battlefield, Mahabharata war, right? The knowledge of the self. And this has been mentioned, Acharya Swamiji mentions that in his commentary, in the beginning itself, that Gita Shastram was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna in the battlefield, right? And he also mentions there, Atyanda Ubarama Lakshanam Jnanam, he said. Atyanda Ubarama Lakshanam Jnanam, right? What is the topic in Bhagavad Gita? what is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, that samsaram, material existence, samsaram, samsarasya atyanta uparama lakshanam jnanam. Samsaram means distress and dukkha shokam, no shanti inside. This is the samsaram, right? That goes away from a person and he gets finally full shanti, perfect shanti state and happiness. And this is what one has to get from the Guru. And in the Shivananda Lahari, it is spoken about that. When you go to a Guru, what is expected from him? He mentions there that Shivananda Lahari, Ajarya Swamiji, is praying to Lord Shiva. And his prayer is this famous verse, right? Tulpadambujam archayami paramam tvam chindayami anvaham tvam isham sharanam rajami vajasa tvam eva yache vibho viksham me disha chakshusim sakarunam divyeschiram prarthidam shambho lokaguro madiyamanasa saukyobadesham kuru. A disciple goes to the Guru, to the Master, and what should he ask? Vikshad, he says here, Viksham me disha chakshusham sakarunam divyeshiram prarthidam. Is praying to him that give me diksha and then look at me. Diksha, viksha. Viksha means look at me and give me diksha. And this is called as chakshusha diksha. That means through eye you give the initiation, right? Not only that, by giving me that instruction by which I am in shanti state. I reach that shanti state. And freedom from shogam, from hankering and lamentation, and shanti should come. I should not feel fear anymore. Bhayam, fear should go. And if problems comes in life, one should not get frightened about that, right? And that is the prayers from a disciple, from the Guru, what he wants from him. And if you look at Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing happened, is it not? If you look at Bhagavatam, when Parikshit was given in the 12th canto, in that 5th chapter, Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya, he said. Is it not? Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya, he says. 12.6.5. Bhagavam takshagadibhyo mrityubhyo na bibhemyaham pravishto brahmanarvanam abhayam darshidam tvaya. Fearlessness. Want to reach that state. And that's what we want from a guru, from a spiritual master. That's what is expected. So we get carried away by all these ceremonies and rituals and all that. We think that is the perfection of That is nothing. That's just a ritual to authorize it, that's all. But in spirit, what is the relationship between a disciple and a guru is this. That he is expecting from a guru that he gets that state of shanti, no more fearlessness, complete fearlessness from everything, right? And that situation, without any fear, and show that to me. Like he said, Pravishto Brahmanurvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvaya. Abhayam is the one what you want, right? And you have given it to me. He says to Shukha Brahmarshi, you have given that to me. How did he get there? he says that in the next verse, if you look, 12:6-7. Ajnanam cha nirasam jnana nishtaya bhavada darshidam kshayamam param bhagavada padam. That is how he got there, right? Ajnanam cha nirasam jnana vijnana nishtaya bhavada darshidam kshayamam param bhagavada padam. My ajnanam has gone from inside. Avidya has gone, right? How? Jnana vijnana nishtaya, fully established in the knowledge and self-realization, bhavada darshidam kshayamam, yeah? And kshayamam has come to me. And this kshayamam is the goal of Bhagavad Gita, to get to that state, right? You can see this, paramarthika kshayamam, that what he is talking about, it is easy to understand that because if you make a lot of money in life, you won't get it, right? And in current times, if you look at the world, because everybody is making money now, that it will not happen, right? And you can easily understand that. A lot of people have got a lot of money, all facilities in life, but at the same time, you will see that money that has given them the feeling of satisfaction in life, right? To that extent, their children, when they come up, right, they require the help of psychiatrists. It is coming like that now. If you observe the society in America also, even in India sometimes, it's seeing now that they have made a lot of money, and wealth has created a feeling like that, but it did not create abhayam. Did not create abhayam. Wealth was there, but they become more insecure. And that insecurity in their life has trickled down to the children, and the children are suffering. And many children in many famous schools in America, children require psychiatrist help. It has come to that stage. It has come to that stage, right? Why? There is depression in them. They are feeling the depression. Children are feeling the depression. Frustration, right? That means the whole life has lost its stability. Complete life has lost its stability, right? And it is happening in India also now. It's not much different from there, what's happening in America. The children are getting affected by this modern way of life, which requires a lot of money. So what money has done has shaken this shanti, what the children had before, that's gone from them. The parents feel secure that they got a lot of money and everything is safe. But you can see how Maya works. Maya comes and taken away all the peace what they had in the children, and children are becoming sick. And that too, not physical problems, mental problems are developing. It is spoken like that. In India also the same thing is happening. They are taking children, smaller children, to psychiatrists for treatment because of this problem. Right? So, lot of depression, frustration, and all kinds of psychiatric problems, right? Those problems are not getting solved with the money. Not solved with the money, right? They are not able to live happily in a family life, right? And they have built everything with all their effort, a wealthy lifestyle, everything, but no shanti inside, right? And how will that shanti come, right? It is not that its problem is now, today, right? We are not blaming what is going on in the modern world, right? World is always like this, one thing or the other, the problems also. This mind, what we have, that is coming with problems, right? Outwardly we are trying to change, right? But what has happened is now, previously we had bullock carts and horse carts and everything. We have replaced all that. We were traveling then with that. We were traveling that time also. And now we have got very posh cars and expensive things. So, in spite of all that, when these things have changed externally, you have tried to adjust everything. Internally, it hasn't changed the problems, right? So, you can see, you have to think about this. Only then you will see, and you have to understand what Bhagavad Gita is saying, right? Buddha came from a very opulent background, very wealthy family he was a prince, wasn't he? Yeah. And Buddha saw this through, that there is something wrong here, he said. And he went to the forest. Buddha left everything and went to the forest, right? Parikshit Maharaj also, remember, when Parikshit took over the kingdom, right before that generation, fought a huge war to get the control of the kingdom. Even though it was 18 days war, Mahabharat war, millions and millions were killed in that war. And his grandfather and all other family members were all involved in that war. And with such a huge war, they inherited that kingdom, wealth, everything. And Parikshit decided in 1 second to leave everything and walk away from there. Just like Buddha did. Buddha saw the effects of the war and he started thinking about it. And Buddha realized that what does this all mean? And he was able to think and analyze it. Something in him made him to think this is not right, what's going on here. And he went to the forest. Siddhartha went to the forest before he became Buddha, right? So, my grandparents, they fought this war, and that wealth, that great kingdom, what Parikshit was given to Parikshit, right? As soon as he got that curse, he said, here is your kingdom, I don't need that. That means, he was able to see what is the value of Shandi more than the kingdom. And this doesn't come to us very easily, unless Krishna gives you that mercy, to see through things like this. A huge amount of wealth, a huge position, lot of material facilities, and all kinds of opulences was inherited by Parikshit. When Yudhishthira went away, handed over everything to Parikshit, and Parikshit knew everything what happened in the war. Their grandparents were involved. It's a massive war, millions of people died, and the end result was this kingdom, which was given to him. And he was able to throw it back, just when he heard these words from that Brahmana boy, Sringi, that he'll die within 7 days' time. So that is what Shandi means, right? And Parikshit knew the value of Shandi. Shandi is more important than anything else, not all this wealth. Not all the opulences. Nothing is going to solve. Shandi is the goal. And that is what Krishna is saying here in this. Right? So, when he came to know that, in 7 days' time I have to go, right? He said, everything is temporary. What's the use, he said. Right? And he did not even sit down to write a will. He didn't even write a will, right? He knew that I've got 7 days' life left, right? And just like one who has got a heart attack, how much time has left for him in the same way, right? And saptaham jivitavadhi, he said. I've got 7 days' left, right? So Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says there, if you look into Bhagavatam, those verses have to be thought through, otherwise you won't get that spirit behind that, yeah? So he is saying there, in the second canto, when Parikshit, he began that, when he talked about that, yeah, he began like this, that, Ghatvango nama rajarshir, yatve yatamiha yusha, muhurtal sarvam ulsrajyam, gadavana bhayam harim. That Ghatvanga, when he heard, these are the things to take notice of in the Shastram. How Ghatvanga gave when he heard that he has only Muhurtam left in his life. Ghatvanga Nama Raja Shir Yatuayetami Hayusha Muhurtal Sarvamul Srijya Gadavana Bhayam Harim. He managed to take shelter of Krishna's shelter, right? So, and he decided to give up everything and sat and remembered Krishna and left this body, right? So, Shukha Brahmarshi says to Parikshit, Ghatvanga had only one muhurtam. At least you have got 7 days time, right? So, you have got the time to decide what you want to do. And he told him that, don't be frightened. Yeah, it is mentioned like this, Kadali Stambhavat Nisaraha. Kadali Stambhavat Nisaraha means that this is a simple thing, he said, to understand. What is that? When you build a house, for example, you need, them days they were using wood mostly, wooden pillars, everything, right? So, teak wood, rose wood, or even expensive, there are other wood from the forest. They could bring very strong wood, right? You can use all that for constructing the pillars. And if you bring the wood from the forest, especially this expensive wood, teak wood or rose wood, or there are other wood as well, there's a lot of work to be done on that. The carpenters have to work hard to make it like a pillar, right? Planing it and then smoothing it and then art work they do on that, right? But if you use the stem of a banana plant, that is what he's calling Kadali Stambhavat Nisaraha. Kadali Stambhav. Kadali Stambhav means banana, if you look inside, there is a white thing inside, in core thing. It's white, isn't it? Very smooth it is. It doesn't need much work. Straight away you can use it as a pillar, right? But doesn't have the strength, though. It won't do the job, right? So you can't build a pillar with that. Yeah. So what Shiva Brahmashi is saying is Kadali Stambhavat Nisaraha. It is like Kadali Stambham. This is called Kadali Stambham. This middle portion of the stem inside of the banana plant, which is white in color, very smooth, and it is a straight one. And this body, our body, is a pillar like that, like the banana plant's stem. Yeah? It has only got that much strength in that. In based on this only, you are building your empire in this world. The pillar itself is like this. It is based on this pillar that you are building your empire here, right? So, no matter however you build your empire, that empire means what? Like what we do in this world, we are building super speciality hospitals. All India Institute of Medical Sciences and everything everywhere they are building now. But this stem is like this. It is based on this pillar inside, right? So whatever you do, it will die at the end. Only thing is, instead of dying at home, you can go and die in one of those places. That's all. That's all you can do. You have to die. But either instead of dying at home, you can go and die in one of these super speciality hospitals, ICU. You can go and lie there, right? So, what happens there? They put you at the time of death. Just few days ago, there was a clip from Prabhupada, you must have seen, I can't remember that, whether you've seen it or not. Prabhupada said that, don't take me to hospital, he said. I want to die here. I don't want to see doctors and nurses. I will die here, he said. Don't take me to hospital, doctors and nurses. I'll just die here. And body will die anyway. Why do you have to do all this drama at the end of life? So that's exactly what has happened to Buddha, what has happened to Parikshit also. They were not looking for solutions. They accepted the truth that you have to die. And that is what made them to think differently than others. They didn't think about all the wealth that was given to them. Wealth was not important. The death is more important. That's how they face the death. Right? So, when you go to ICU, you know what happens there. All these people will put their masks on because they are scared that they might catch something from you. So they put the mask on so you can't even recognize who they are. Because you can't see the face of a person, right? The doctors, the nurses, they all come like that. ICU, right? And if you die at home, they say, oh, you didn't take care, that's why he died. If you die in ICU, they don't say that. That you have been taken care very well, but still you died. So, this is the interesting thing, right? So, that fear inside us about death, right? Always fear, frightened about that. And all around in ICU also, what do you see? Others also waiting for their death, right? So, so this Atma Vidya, self knowledge of the self, is teaching us a lesson, everybody, a lesson, that life is like that, that the death is inevitable, unavoidable, it will come. And your so-called world you are building here, with this system, Kadali Sambhavat, it is nisaram, it has no meaning. This fact is what is being taught to us. Parikshit is teaching us, Buddha is teaching us, and many other, all great personalities teach the same thing. How they face the death. Death came to them in different forms, in the form of cancer, in the form of stroke, one way or the other. But when they faced death, their state of consciousness was like this. Death is not possible to avoid. Everyone has to accept it. And therefore, this approach is better. Taking an approach like this, rather than thinking that I will fight it out through super speciality hospitals and through all the modern medicines and technology, everything, right? So, so when one is not aware of all these things, or if you do come back from ICU back again, if you do come back, then the next thing what you should do is go for a satsangam. That's what you should do, right? At least some point in time you should know that life is like that. This is the nature of life, right? Anityam. There is a statement, we were not born same time. None of us were born at the same time. We are all born at different times. And we will all die at different times. This is the reality. We were all born at different times and we will die at different times. In the middle, you are there together sometimes. Yeah, and then you are competing each other. In the middle of all this. Yeah. So, that is our situation, right? It is something very seriously to be thought through, right? On the one side, Krishna's point is that it is favorable, but it's also not favorable in the sense that it's a education. The life is an education about the soul. From that angle, it's favorable. If you can take that benefit of knowing the soul and realizing the self, then this is an educational institution. This life is a educational institution to teach the soul, science of the soul. If not, otherwise it is anityam asukham logam, what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, right? So when we say vairagyam, vairagyam doesn't mean that you hate something, right? Vairagyam is actually intelligence, good intelligence, right? So that means when you have seen something, within you are able to make some decisions about yourself. What do I want from this world, right? And when you are able to make that determination inside, and you are able to take shelter of Krishna. And if your intelligence is turning in that direction, then it is worthwhile. If it has not happened, life was a waste of time. Life was a waste of time. So, if our buddhi turns in the right direction, right, then it is worthwhile. And that is why Parikshit said here that this whole empire kingdom is like the stem of the banana plant. That's how strong it is, right? So, 18 days war, millions of people got killed, and this empire had come to him, and that empire he threw it away, Parikshit, and walked out from there, right? And that too, he made a mistake with that rishi, Shamigh Rishi, and that Brahmana boy Sringi said something from his mouth, and this whole thing is gone. The whole empire is finished for him, right? So, Parikshit is feeling that it is not because he has cursed me that this has happened. What was going to happen for me, it came through him. That is how Parikshit saw that. Parikshit didn't criticize that Brahmana boy. He said, I was meant to go through this way to things to happen. And that boy happened to be just a instrument for that. So, and he felt that he has given me a 7 days notice, and that is my blessing, he said. If you look at the first canto in the 19th chapter, he says this, Parikshit is saying that. Nirveda Moolam Nijashava Rupo Yatra Prasatto Bhayamashudate. First canto, 19th chapter, 14th verse. Nirveda Moolam Dijashava Rupam. In the form of a curse from this Brahmana boy, it has come. He didn't blame him, the child, for that. Nirveda Moolam. Nirveda means Vairagyam. Because of that Vairagyam, he felt inside. So, Vairagyam means not forcefully giving up. This knowledge coming inside, that is Vairagyam. That this is all useless. That when that knowledge comes in, that is called Vairagyam. That's the point he is making here. Nirveda Moolam Dvijashapa Rupam. In the form of the Brahmana boy's curse, it has come. Yatra Prasakto Bhayam Ashudate. So, that Brahmana boy's curse has triggered Vairagyam in me. So you can see Parikshit did not give it up forcefully anything. That curse on the Brahmana boy created Vairagyam inside him. In other words, the inside eye has opened in him. He started realizing this war was a waste. Mahabharata war was a waste. I got all the result of that. He didn't fight the war, but he got the results. They fought the war, Kauravas and the Pandavas. They killed each other, millions, butchered, slaughtered everyone. Elephants, chariots, horses, and a lot of human lives as well, all lost. Lot of the children became without parents. Women became without husbands. All these things happened. They all dead and gone. The result Parikshit got. Now Parikshit is thinking about it. When this curse came, he is saying, Nirveda Moolam, Vairagyam came to him. So Vairagyam, it was not forced upon him. It came from this Dvijashapa Rupam. When that Shapam, curse came from that Brahmana boy, Parikshit realized this. What is worth all these things? And able to think like that, that is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's arrangement, that is, that through Parikshit, he wanted to release Bhagavatam to this world. So this was the master plan behind from Krishna's side. So he was preparing Parikshit, he used Parikshit as a tool to release Bhagavatam through this to this world. Nurveda Mulam Dijashavarupam. It says Yatra Prasatto Bhayam Ashudate. So that became a cause of his detachment, renunciation from him, right? So that is how Vairagyam must come. In the world, if you observe, people who are very strongly attached to things, what's their problem? What is their problem? Fear. Will everything go? That fear. When you have a lot, that's what happens. Will everything, will I lose it? Right? What will happen? What will happen? This fear, right? So Parikshit said, Parikshit had a lot more than what we have got, right? So he's saying here, in order to get me released from that fear, right, Krishna has given me a blessing like this in the form of a curse. So when this curse happened, Parikshit took it as a curse from Krishna, as a blessing from Krishna, than a curse from the Brahmana boy, right? In this way, if you look at our own life, if you, in a shanti state, think about everything, right? These things are, our life also wake us up from our slumber, from our sleep, right? Yeah. When we have only one question to ask to Krishna, right? I want shanti inside, right? And Madhya Manasa Saukhyobadesham Kuru. Shivananda Lahiri Acharya Swami also says that, right? Somehow or the other, I need that shanti. Chitta Saukhyam, Saukhyam, right? Shanti is required. For that shanti, you require the knowledge of the self. Knowledge of the self-realization, in other words, right? And in order to have that shanti inside, knowledge is required, and for that sake, for the knowledge, Guru is required, right? And who is Guru? Where will you find that Guru, right? Guru Bhavam is, as we say, that Dakshinamurti. Krishna's Guru Bhavam is Shiva. Guru Bhavam is Shiva, right? So, where do I find him for that Guru, right? Lord Shiva has a name, Neelakanthi also. Neelakanthi means that blue throat. For two reasons, that is. One, while he consumed that poison, halahalam, when the milk ocean was churned, Sri Bharavati caught his neck and the poison stayed there and that became blue. That's one. Another one is that you caught hold of a peacock, right? Vedantam Ubarvane Vihara Rasige Tam Neelakantham Bhaje. So, because Lord Shiva is in the peak of this spiritual knowledge, Vedanta Upavanam, it is called, right? He is enjoying that self-realization state, right? I went and caught him. And Madhya Manasa Saukhyobadesham Kuru. Give me that Upadesham or instructions which gives Shanti to me, right? And that is what happens. The same question we have to ask from Krishna while we are hearing Bhagavad Gita, right? That only when you have this understanding that this Shravanam of Vedantam will have its effect in a person, right? Otherwise, even if you go to a great Acharya, if you don't have that relationship with him in this way, there won't be any benefit. Whether it is Shiva or Brahma or Vishnu, whoever gives Upadesham, right? If you have not given up attachment to those things what you don't need in life, right, Shanti won't come. Shanti won't come, right? There is no magic in all these things. There is Shastram behind it, right? In the Shastram there is no magic or anything, right? But this condition you have to accept. That means without Vairagyam, and if you have not inside developed that, cultivated that, I don't need these things in my life, right? Able to move away from things which you don't require in life, this knowledge will not work. As I mentioned yesterday, that this spiritual knowledge is such a thing. You can hear for years and years and years, but without any impact on a person, for various reasons, right? First thing, that the spiritual knowledge works in its own way. Our problem, we will analyze it with mind and intelligence, and then we'll take something and reject something. That's because mind and intelligence gets involved in that. So it won't be able to benefit from that, due to mind and intelligence, one problem. Secondly, even if the knowledge has come inside, you have misunderstood things. So many things you have misunderstood. You didn't get the clarity, what you need from that. Due to that, you can lose it. You can lose it. Third thing, finding it difficult to translate into life. Because you can't remember them. You have heard everything. When you heard everything, it was all meaningful. But after one or two days, for example, if you just get out of the room, whatever we have spoken here, it's all gone. Everything is gone. And there, the reason for that is lack of chitta shuddhi. That is why it is happening. That things are not staying inside. It's coming, it's gone. 20 years, 50 years you have heard, but it hasn't had any impact. We are still the same. That situation, right? So Krishna is saying here that able to know things properly, and if the life is becoming more and more into a Shanti state, if Shanti is coming in life, that means it is having some effect on you. But if there is no Shanti coming from that, you are same as you started before, right? It is for this purpose Krishna is talking about this knowledge of the self, jnanam, right? So what is the symptom of alpajnanam, the knowledge of the self, right? What does alpajnanam does? Alpajnanam, if there is proper alpajnanam in a person, what it does to him, it relieves him from karma. Karma nivritti, right? This will not easily go into ordinary people's head. Because they have not understood the subtle things in spiritual life. Karma nivritti, right? Ashesha karma nivritti, says Acharya here, right? Whole karma will leave him once for all, right? He went from a village all the way, he walked to Madhya Pradesh to see his guru, Govinda Bhagavad Pada. Walked through all the way to Kashi from there, and then to Himalayas, and then east, west, south, north, everywhere, right? He walked all these years, and he had in his time also, there was different types of philosophies existed. All very degraded forms, Kapaligas, Nastigas, Charvakas, all types of people, right? And he had debate with them and established Advaitam in that way. And he established this Upasana processes in different places, right? And he, after done all these things, he is saying this, there is no thing called karmam. Karmam is, there is nothing to be done here. There is no such thing called karmam, he says here. So when Ajahn Swami said like that, one who has done so much karma, and he says there is no karma. Krishna also is saying the same thing. Name parthastu kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana. After doing all what Krishna has done in 125 years here, right, he says, in all the three worlds I have nothing to do. And there is nothing I need from this by doing here. And still the body is working continuously, right? And he is in a blissful state, right? Ananda rupam mai. So this is the secret of karma. This is the secret of karma. So jnani, they are jnanis, aren't they? Krishna is jnani, Ajari Swamiji is a jnani. They are all jnanis, right? So jnanis, karma tyagam is like this, right? Ordinary people, they will differentiate between karma. But if you look at Krishna's activities, Ajari Swamiji's activities and all, they never broke the karma into pieces. They did all the karma what has come in their life. Every type of karma. Writing books, establishing mathams, and educating disciples, installing deities, glorifying the deities, writing different stotrams, prayarana grandam, bhashyam, all kinds of things they did, and debating with other opposition members. Ajari Swamiji's life was like that. Krishna's life, if you look, what he did, came to Vrindavanam, from birth went to Gokulam, then to Vrindavanam, few years there, went to Mathura. There the role was like a king, he started. Uddhava became the prime minister. Then went to Dwaraka, established a kingdom there. And then trying to destroy the Kshatriya kings who were causing problems then. Created Mahabharat war, performed Rajasuyam before that. And in the Mahabharat war, he managed to get everybody together and completely clean up, he did. And then after that also, he spent time in making sure that his own family is going to cause problems, so wipe them off also off, and then he left. And then he says, I have nothing to do in this world. So they are like that. This is how a jnani works in this world. So their state is very high, very, very high. Name parthasti kartavyam trishilogeshu kinchana, he says. I have nothing to do in this world, Krishna is saying. Ajari is also saying like that. So, this is the secret of karma. This is the secret of karma, right? Right. Whereas in our case, when we do karma, we differentiate. We say, this karma is good, that karma is bad. They didn't do that. They did all types of karma, what has come in their life. Able to do karma like that is the secret of karma. This lesson, what Krishna has taught, and in Ajari Swamiji's life also, various types of karmams they did, and in every one of them, they had no attachment in anything. And therefore you can see that they didn't differentiate, this is good karmam, this is bad karmam, in both their lives if you look. Right? So, and when you start seeing karmam differently, good and bad, means, what that means is, there is attachment and aversion. Means ragam dvesham is there. So they were able to perform without ragam dvesham. And escaping from karmam means becoming free from this bondage. Yeah. And we have to learn, and it is for that purpose Krishna is saying here, that karmam should be done without attachment to that, karma palatyaga. Don't expect the results of the karma, does not, let it not drive the karma, the results of the karma, right? Because he says there that everything one should learn, remember in Bhagavata Dharmam, Krishna is saying the same thing. Karodi Yajjat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayedi Samarpayami. Sharanagadi and Samarpanam. Yeah. So Sharanagadi and Samarpanam is a process by which we purify the karma. That's how karma gets purified. How to become out of this karma? This is the question. Is it not? Krishna and Ajani Swami, they are examples of that, who have come out of karma. And you can see the way they have acted in this world. We are apprentices, trying to understand what this is, first of all. And Krishna has given us the knowledge, through Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, how to become free from karma. Karma eventually, like we saw yesterday, in Prabhuddha's mention, Nashwaram karma nirmidam, he said, anything that you got in life through karma will be destroyed. It will not stay. Nashwaram karma nirmidam. Prabhuddha said that. Is it not? So to come to that understanding in life and then realize that whatever karma we are doing here is not going to give us permanent results. Results may come, but it will go. May or may not come results, depending on your prarabdham. You may get the results, you may not get the results. Even if you get the results, it will go. It won't stay. That's why Prabhuddha said, Nashwaram karma nirmidam. Remember? In the last words. And he will say exactly the same thing, what Krishna is saying here. So, becoming free from karma is the goal. How to become free from karma, right? Even if you are put in a prison with golden bars, but you are inside the prison still. Bars may be golden, but that's not going to solve the problem, right? Similarly, you may have some karma which you like to do, but you have to learn how to come out of that as well, right? And just because you have done some good karma in life, only due to that alone, we are not going to become liberated. Just because you have done a lot of good karma, right? For that, ashesha karma parityagam, completely freedom from karma. That means, as long as this principle, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, karta bhokta, as long as it's there, there will be distress, right? So, and that means accepting new body, birth and death, right? So, kartrutvam is ajnanam, right? And it is a big distress, that kartrutvam, right? Sometimes good people also suffer in this world, good people, right? For example, this is how Puranams and Mahabharatam and all, you have to study it in a different way. Don't take it like history and start accepting everything what is written there, right? Yudhishthira was a good person, but he suffered heavily, is it not? He was a very good person, but he suffered heavily, right? And Krishna tried also to treat him, right? And that's why it didn't work. He took him to Bhishma. Krishna took Yudhishthira to Bhishma for treatment. Krishna tried, it didn't work. You know, in the first canto, that story, right? Good person, Yudhishthira is a good person, right? But after the war was over and he won the war, he is crying, right? Shujar Pidaha. In the Bhagavatam it is mentioned like that. If you look at the 8th chapter in the first canto, Shujar Pidaha. He was crying. Who was crying? Yudhishthira was crying. Why was he crying? That he is responsible for the war. Somehow this thought came to him, that I am responsible for the war, right? So therefore he is saying there that, if you look at the 46th verse in the 8th chapter, Sudha Goswami is saying there, Vyasadhyay Ishware Ajnay Krishne Albhuda Karmanaha Prabodhido Vidihaser Na buddhyada shuchar pidaha. That's what it is, yeah. Shuchar pidaha. Shuchar pidaha means that he felt very lamentation about the war. He's lamenting about it. Why did all this happen? And you know, he blamed everybody, including Krishna. He said, you are the one actually who caused the whole problem. He said, you have to put yourself in that situation and think. Just don't take everything as it is written. Think the mind behind it. When he said that, right? What was going through Yudhishthira's mind at that time? Yudhishthira thought, so many people died. For what? What did I get from that? And I got this kingdom at the end. I am responsible for this. He started thinking like that. And then he started, in his own mind, he started thinking, who is responsible for this war? And he, thinking about it a lot, he came to the conclusion, I have asked Krishna to resolve this problem. I sent him there to negotiate and to find a solution. Instead, what did he do? He came back and the war happened. War was declared and we fought the war. So even he was no good at it. And slowly, Yudhishthira's mind started telling him that Krishna is responsible for this war. Krishna didn't do the job right. The blame was thrown at Krishna. And of course Krishna is responsible for everything done in this creation, but the way Yudhishthira's mind worked at that time was, Krishna is responsible for everything. I have sent him to negotiate the peace. He didn't do a good job. He came back and then situation got completely out of control. War broke out. And end result was all these things have happened. Millions died. And I am the king. So naturally it will affect me. My situation is worse now. Saying this, Yudhishthira turned to... Initially he wouldn't say this to anybody. He only said to talk to Bhimasena. But little by little, he started telling this to others also. Bhima and Arjuna told Yudhishthira, don't talk like that and about Krishna like that. But when they said that to him, he became more aggressive and he started talking about it openly. Earlier, he was only talking to Bhima and Arjuna. But later on, he started talking about this to everybody. And it is disturbing him inside that the war has happened and so many people died, right? So that is why Suda Goswami is saying there, Vyasadhi Ishire Rajne Krishna Albhula Karmanaha. Yeah. Prabodhido Vidihase Buddhya Na Buddhyeda Na Buddhyeda Shujarpida. Right. So Vedavyasa Maharshi, who knows everything, Sarvajna he is, right? Such great souls, great rishis, they advised him not to get disturbed over this. They told him. Vedavyasa Maharshi told him. Right? Krishna advised him. And still he was not finding peace inside. There was no shanti inside. Right? Good person. Yudhishthira is a good person. But what was the problem with Yudhishthira? He has a lot of preconditions. What was that? Even though he is a good person, he has certain understanding in him. And he will hold on to that very strongly. What was that? He didn't have knowledge of the self. That was the problem. He didn't have knowledge of the self, right? Jnana Nishtha was not there. You see, Yudhishthira couldn't act the way Krishna has acted. Yudhishthira couldn't act the way Bhishma has acted. And Yudhishthira couldn't act the way like Vedavyasa Maharshi has acted. He is a very good person, but in his self-realization is concerned, he didn't have it. He didn't have it, right? So that is why when he went to gamble, remember all this happened before this, before the war, right? He believed, this is his own preconceived ideas in his head, that gambling is necessary for a king. Kings are allowed to gamble. He developed this mindset, right? So, if you are an intelligent person, you will think about things. You won't act like that, bluntly, on a word like that, that Kshatriyas must gamble or kings must gamble. Whether it's good or bad, you will analyze it first, right? He didn't do that, right? But he didn't think in that way. He said, I have been asked to play, And rejecting that was considered to be bad. In them days, that was the system, right? So, Duryodhana was clever. Duryodhana said, I'm not very good at playing this, gambling. My uncle is there, very good at it. He will play on my behalf, and brought Shakuni into it, right? So, somebody asked him, Yudhishthira could have also done something like that, right? And this drama would have been over at that time. This Krishna going to become the representative for negotiations with Dhritarashtra, that could have been avoided. Krishna could have been avoided being the charioteer of Arjuna. And Krishna could have even avoided this preaching to Arjuna about Bhagavad Gita. All these things could have been eliminated if Yudhishthira had withdrawn from that gambling thing, right? But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. So somebody, Sahadeva asked Krishna, why did you not step in and do it on his behalf? Krishna said, I was waiting for Duryodhana, Yudhishthira to say, like Duryodhana did, that he couldn't play, Shakuni will play on his behalf. Same way, he could have said that I will not play, Krishna will play on my behalf. But he didn't do that. This is how things happened, right? So Yudhishthira is not very intelligent that way. He's a good person, good at heart, believes in dharma very strongly. Dharmaputra he is, right? Yudhishthira is. So, Krishna says to Sahadeva, I also want limitations. Unless I'm called, I won't go to anybody. Unless they call me. Why should I go? I stuck to that, he said. So, Duryodhana said, I can't do it. Shakuni will do it on my behalf, right? And, even then, right, Yudhishthira did not give up, went and played. Krishna says to Sahadeva, if he has asked me to play in the first round itself, I would have finished that. He said to Sahadeva for this, because Sahadeva wanted to know why Krishna didn't play. This is in the Mahabharata, all this thing, right? So, in life also, what's the lesson to us in all this is, in life also, Krishna should play the role. We shouldn't play. It is Krishna's instructions must control the life, not our mind, like Yudhishthira. That should not be, right? If you play your mind decisions based on your own instructions and your own guidelines, if you play, then even if you may be a good person, it could end up in problems at the end. Yeah, you are seen with the case of Yudhishthira. A good person, what he has created at the end, right? Mahabharata is a colossal destruction. Total destruction it is. Mahabharata, what happened was, at that time, so many kingdoms participated. Armies from so many different parts of the world came. And it was a huge destruction, right? So, Duryodhana is not a good person, but he had the intelligence to send Shakuni to play the gambling, to the dice, right? So, and Yudhishthira is concerned. In his problem was, for him, his faith was more in his own intelligence, mind, and his knowledge, dharma. We also suffer from the same problem. Our faith is in our buddhi, our mind, our knowledge, and our power in all these things. This is our problem, it is, right? Therefore, he took the decision, like we make the decision, he also took the decision that he will play. That's how he made the decision, right? And he made the decision, and step by step he played that gambling game, right? Ultimately, he was losing one after the other. And then he had to start, what do you call it, pawning them, isn't it? He made the pawns of that. His own wealth, he pawned, kingdom, then wife. One after the other, everybody was used in the gambling match, right? Ultimately, he lost everything in that gambling, right? And when he was invited to for this gambling, right, he felt inside himself, I have to go because I am a king and I am a kshatriya and I have been invited, I must go, right? And this is nothing but ego. It's ahangaram inside, right? How did that happen? Because Krishna knows these things about Yudhishthira. This is the reason why Krishna did not choose Yudhishthira to give Bhagavad Gita. You see, the difference between Yudhishthira and Arjuna, you have to understand what that is. Why Krishna chose Arjuna to give Bhagavad Gita to him rather than Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira is a good person. So he is elder to Krishna and he is a good person. And Krishna had a lot of respect for Yudhishthira, but from spiritual side, Yudhishthira is not qualified. Do you understand that? Yeah? You have to understand the mind of all these people, how they are way of thinking, and what state they are in. Because this question will naturally come. It's not that Krishna loved Arjuna because he's my friend, so I gave it to him. Not like that. Friendship and all doesn't matter in spiritual life. Spiritual life, what matters is, are you qualified or not? For a particular situation. If vairagyam is there, you are qualified for spiritual life. If vairagyam is not there, millions of years you sit and hear Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, it won't have any work inside. So, and vairagyam is not giving up something. This knowledge has to wake up inside that everything that comes through karma is temporary. Every effort and energy you are investing into it is a waste at the end. To come to this realization, it takes time. And then you have to see your own life, analyze your own life, look at others' life. From all these things, you have to come to some conclusions within yourself. And that's what Krishna is saying here also. That the reason only why Krishna didn't give it to Yudhishthira was, Yudhishthira didn't have the spiritual qualifications, what was necessary to receive Bhagavad Gita. That was the reason. He was a good person and he knew what Dharmaputra he was, wasn't it? And many things associated with him, the difficulty was that he had more faith in his buddhi, in his mind and in his knowledge. In his knowledge. What he considers as knowledge. He has faith in that, right? And he believed in dharma. That didn't help him, right? So, therefore he decided to go and play this thing, right? So in that process he lost everything. Wife gone, Panjali Draupadi was taken away, right? And then your question comes, why Krishna don't give it to Bhima? Bhima is the next option, is it not? Krishna knew that Bhima won't listen. That is his nature, right? Bhima's nature is like that. Bhima will do what he wants. So that's not very helpful in spiritual life. So you have to have someone who have a nature agreeable with spiritual principles. That kind of mindset is necessary in spirituality. Otherwise it won't work, right? So, and there is a secret behind all these things, right? Why Arjuna was selected for this? Yeah. In Mahabharatam, Ashwatthama talks about that, the secret. Why Arjuna was chosen. There are so many things in Mahabharatam, if you look into it, as Vedavyasa said, there is nothing anywhere else what is not in Mahabharatam, what is said about Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam is everything. You can, nowadays, they are talking about cloning and all that. Vedavyasa has done that already, with that 100 children in the... Isn't it? Yeah. So, you know. So, therefore, this is not something new. And we are talking about these big nuclear weapons and about fighting spirit and all. They had much more powerful weapons, much more under control with them. And this happens all the time. Those rishis who were there at the time, they were able to manufacture such weapons, such destructive weapons, not killing everyone, but very targeted weapons whom they wanted to kill, and that too through mantram and astram, they were able to do that. Yeah, and that whole thing we lost now. And now we have got all this, what we have created now, and we are thinking that we are the only ones who have got all this. Others, no, they also had many things like this, right? So Ashwatthama talks about this in Mahabharatam, the secret behind this whole thing. He said, he spoke to Bhishma during the war. He says to Bhishma, right, if we have to win this war, we have to break up between Krishna and Arjuna. They shouldn't be together, he said. Ashwatthama knew this. Ashwatthama says, it is that Krishna behind him is the whole power. So if you break Krishna from Arjuna, we will win the war. But we have to break that connection between Krishna and Arjuna, right? Then we will win, he said, right? As long as they are together, we won't be able to win. Ashwatthama said this to Bhishma, right? At the end, in the middle of this war, at one point Arjuna came out of the chariot, right? And the horses were very tired. And Krishna understood that situation and took the horses and told Arjuna that, I am going to take them away to give them water and feed them some grass. They need some energy, right? And till then, you manage, he told Arjuna like that, right? They saw this opportunity. Krishna was away from Arjuna and they attacked him, right? Karna, Drona, Kripa, all of them together, they wanted to kill Arjuna at that moment, right? Arjuna was fighting alone with all of them. And Ashwatthama was also firing very powerful weapons towards Arjuna at that moment, right? But nothing was working. Nothing was working, right? At that time, Ashwatthama goes back to Duryodhana and says to him, I'm leaving, he said. He said, I'm given up, he said. I can't fight this, he said. Because what happened was that you are thinking that Arjuna and Krishna are two different persons. They are one and the same, he said. They are not two different people, right? Actually, there are two forms there. Actually, they are one, right? Ye satya logam tu nastikam. There is only one form there. Because when they were firing arrows, they were only seeing Krishna there. There was no Arjuna there. And Ashwatthama realized this. Ashwatthama is fighting, Drona was fighting, Kripa was fighting, Karna was fighting, Bhishma was fighting. They were trying to kill Arjuna at that moment. It was the right opportunity for them. And what they noticed was that even though all of them were fighting, Arjuna was alone, nothing was working. They were losing it. And then Ashwatthama realized that this is not going to work. And he wanted to pack up and go. So he went to Duryodhana and told him, right? So that is why there's only one form, and who has come as Nara is Narayana himself. Narayana, Narayana is the same. And have you taken notice of that? Ashwatthama said to them, right? And that is why both in Mahabharatam and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when they begin, they say these words, Narayanam namaskrutva naram jaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tado jayam udirayet. These words has come from this, from that incident, From that incident, this verse has come. Narayanam namaskrityam naram jaiva narottamam. In these two form, different forms, that one truth is coming. As Guru and the disciple, as Krishna and Arjuna, Narayana and Nara, they are actually one. They are not two different entities. Krishna has taken that Arjuna's form in order to, in the Mahabharata war, to present this Bhagavad Gita in this form. These are all transcendental matters. It is impossible for us. And you are saying to us that, oh, you have to prove this scientifically. What science can you prove these things? How can you prove all these things with science? These are topics beyond these rishis and these great personalities. Their understanding of this world is so high that you will never be able to reach that state with your research and experiments, right? So when scientists say, they will come and say, oh, is this all true? You want to believe it, believe it. If you don't want to believe, throw it away. That's your problem. That Narayanam, this one particular verse, why is it recited before Bhagavatam? Narayanam namaskrityam naram jaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudirayel. All these things are spoken here, that this is Mahabharata Katha, right? What is the essence? There is nothing to substitute here, right? There is no substitute for jnanam, right? That means without jnanam, shanti won't be there. Without jnanam, shanti won't be there, right? So that means through karmam, you won't get shanti. This is the lesson to learn. Through karmam, you won't get shanti. Shanti will come through jnanam or bhakti. So there was one professor. He was a very learned professor, right? He was into Vedantam heavily. He's no more now. Left, right? And whenever people went to him with this charitable work and all that, you know, hospitals, this is all modern charities, isn't it? Schools, hospitals and care homes. This is all part of charities now, right? So there was one group of people who went to him. In them days, there was a lot of people suffering from leprosy. For treating leprosy, nobody will go too near to them because of the problem with leprosy, right? So they wanted to start a care home for the lepers. So, and a lot of people who have taken the whole life, this is a charitable thing to do, to look after patients like that. So they were doing that, right? So they went up to him and he told them that, you have done this charitable work for so long time. What has happened now, right? And there are still a lot more lepers in this world. What are you going to do with them? You have treated a few of them, but there is a lot more left behind who are not being treated, right? So these people who are doing this charity, the head of that, he died in due course thinking about lepers who are dying in this world, right? So all this is not the solution to the problem, right? When this whole creation, Krishna is running this, managing it, running it, right? He is doing so many things. He is turning things upside down. He is adjusting various things in his own way, right? Some people will understand that, right? So, like when you renovate an old building, you will remove the roof first, and then you will put back everything together. Repaint the rafters, the creepers, and then the tiles. You may use some fresh tiles and things like that, right? You can do all that, similar like the kind of charitable activities in this world, but shanti won't come from that, right? That ashesha karma parityagam. Unless you come to this state, what Krishna is talking about, like Janaka, like Ambarish, like Rishabhadev, like Krishna himself, like Arjuna, like Vedavyas, that state of knowledge, what they have shown, there won't be any shanti. Other things you can do it here, but reaching that state, not state, reaching that self-realized conditions, right, That is the important thing, right? So, in the same thing comes in bhakti also, like jnanam. The same thing comes in bhakti also. In bhakti you will say bhajana. In jnanam it is spoken in this way, right? The other thing that, like in the, when they play with the puppets, the puppeteer, how he plays with the puppets, same thing. Ishwarasya ki vashe loko yosha dharumai yatha. Narada Maharshi says this to Rashtra about this, right? First canto. So, why, like the puppeteer pulls a string and the puppets are playing? In this way, every jiva in this world is pulled by that puppeteer Krishna from the top, and we can only play the role what has been given to us. You can't change this upside down, this world. That is also another illusion in our mind, that we can change this world. That has to leave us, right? So, we can only play what has been, we have been given by that role Krishna has given to us, right? And when you hear that, you become realize that you are not the karta and you are not the bhokta either. If you realize this, if you hear this and if you take it inside, then you have become free. You have become free. And that is the way Krishna is acting. And in the same way, Arjuna was also trained to do the same thing with Rishabhadev, Bharata, all of them were acting in that platform of knowledge. In the platform of knowledge they have acted. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.